ESPN continues 50-50 month, honoring and exploring the first 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward. Today, ESPN Films presents 37 Words. It's a series on the history and impact of Title IX. South Carolina women's basketball coach Dawn Staley grew up with Title IX, empowered by being able to play basketball, and now coaches college-age women to help them reach their goals. Take a look.
Here's what you need to do. You need to start prioritizing basketball. That's what you need to do. The intensity is raising, and we fight for wins. That's what we do, okay? Because we know the feeling of losing.
Here we go, one, two, three, together!
Young people in college are in the most transformational years of their lives. I meet young people where they are, and I try to take them where they want to go. I've been so fortunate to be able to do the things that come naturally to me. What does it feel like to participate in sports? It is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like second skin. Because I was able to express myself through my play. I was singularly focused on how basketball made me feel, that all the other stuff around it really didn't matter. I have never been without basketball. I felt like it was always readily available to me, and I always have been given the tools that I needed to be successful at the right time.
We continue to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Title IX with the last two parts of our four-part docuseries, 37 Words, parts 3 and 4, premiere tomorrow, 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus, immediately following the premiere. And we welcome you back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Look who's in the house. P.K. Subban in to talk some hockey. Tim Bontemps, Seth Greenberg talking some basketball. We got Zach Lowe joining them. Mike T, Jeff Darlington going to be by as well to talk football. But what a day we got coming up for you. And we will start with the NBA. Cindy, let's get up and tell them it's crunch time. We're 48 hours away from the most significant choice of the NBA offseason. Will Kyrie opt out? And what does that mean for KD's future in Brooklyn? Plus, is Rob really done playing with Tampa Tom? We're going to ask the man with his finger on the pulse of all things Brady. And let's talk Deebo Samuel. He still wants out, but is it getting too late to make a major move? We'll talk about that and a lot more this morning on Get Up. But first, we are T-minus 2 days and counting until decision day for Kyrie Irving. He's got a $36.5 million player option for next season with a Wednesday deadline for whether to decide to exercise it or decline it and become a free agent. Now, his running mate, KD, is under contract with the Nets through 2026. Setting up a very interesting situation, shall we say. And let's bring our guys back in. Tim, set the scene for us. What's the latest on this seemingly ever evolving situation with Kyrie?
Well, certainly trying to predict what's going to happen here, I think, is a fool's errand, because that's, as we know with Kyrie Irving, every time something happens, there's something else that happens afterward, and there's just always drama. But I think right here what you've got is an ongoing negotiation, as Adrian Wojnarowski reported last week, right, where Kyrie Irving clearly wants to be paid like a max player and wants a max contract, and the Nets, to this point, have not been willing to meet him at his asking price. And until that changes, we're going to remain at a stalemate until at least on Wednesday, when he has to opt in or opt out of this player option of $36 million for next year. And that will give us one more tea leaf in terms of figuring out what's going to happen. But it's also, regardless of which way it goes, it's not the end of the story. Really, it is just the beginning.
Yeah, and by the way, I want us to put up our graphic that we used earlier about the numbers we're talking about. We're talking about a max deal for him, $196 million if he's there. If he opts out, becomes a free agent, we're talking in the 240s. So that's a lot of dough. Do you pay him that dough to stay around?
I don't think you pay him that dough. Now, you try to find a middle ground because you don't want to lose, obviously, Kevin Durant. But to invest that type of money in an if, not an if in terms of talent, if in terms of availability, I think that's a risk. Eventually, the Nets have to make a statement. I think they find a middle ground. But more importantly, I think if I'm the Nets, I'm sitting now with KD and I'm saying, KD, we've got you. We've got Ben Simmons. We want Kyrie with us. If we can't get him with us, who do you want to play with and bring him into the conversation to help you recruit that third superstar? But to give him the max as basically inconsistent in terms of availability he's been, I don't think you can do that, because if you give him all that money in 5 years, who knows? Now he's got you. He's got you. And what's going to happen in year two? You never know, because the one thing we've known about Kyrie is you never know. I mean, Tim kind of said it a second ago. He's got to be a little more careful than I have to, because he's got to talk to these people. I really don't care.
Zach, you really
big-time sport coach. That's the best sport coach I've ever seen a real journalist play. Zach, I'm sorry. He is way over your head with this sport coach.
I don't know. I like Zach's sport coach, too. He looks good over there. Zach, look, it's a big decision they have to make. And I think it's fascinating that Seth's talking about the conversation you have with KD. So imagine you're pitching to KD. What does that conversation look like if you can't get Kyrie at the price that you want him?
I think you say, first of all, look, Kevin, common sense here would suggest a compromise. I don't know right now what that compromise would be. I've been saying a 2+1 deal makes a lot of sense. A 4 or 5 year deal, but with the last 2 or 3 years having incentives, bonuses, things like that. I mean, Kyrie Irving made what was essentially a compromise last year. He sacrificed, I think Woj has it at $17 million of his own salary because he didn't want to get vaccinated as a personal choice. Well, if you're willing to compromise that, again, common sense suggests the other side of that compromise is a compromise now. If we can't get there, well, Kevin, look, we have to have, if we're going to commit the full 5 years, we have to know this guy's going to be available. We don't feel comfortable with that. We're going to try to trade him for role players X, Y, and Z. We're optimistic Ben Simmons is healthy. We can roll with that. You and Ben and shooters around you. Who's going to stop that? Is that good enough to beat Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Philly? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. I'm kind of dubious myself about that. And if it blows up, if it doesn't work, well, we have Durant, Simmons, and cap space. If we have a couple of moves down the line to get rid of some salary, we may be able to get a third star in here in 2 summers or something. So sit tight. I just don't know how persuasive that argument is going to be. And look, again, we're going to learn a lot on Wednesday when the option deadline comes in. I'm not ruling it all the way out that the Nets cave in the end and give him what he wants, because that's how good Durant is. I don't think that's going to happen. But as Tim and Seth have said, you can't predict what's going to happen here. There are so many dynamics to it.
Well, and the one thing I think that's important to point out is when Kevin Durant signed the 4-year contract extension he signed last fall, he gave away some of his power in the situation, right? Now, obviously, we've seen in the NBA time and time again, guys have the ability to get where they want to go. But at the same time, he is under contract for 4 more years. There is some power that has been shifted over to the Nets here. That, to Zach's point, if they go to him and say, listen, give us a year. Let's see what this looks like this year. Give us a full season and an off season. Try to make this team better around you. If we do that, we still can't get it to where you want it to be. Maybe then we talk about a trade, right? But if Kevin hadn't extended last fall, and he was coming to free agency now, and you had the two of them maybe tied together again, well, then there would be a much different calculus maybe in play for everybody, right? But that extension that he signed, it changed the game for everybody involved, because it gives the Nets at least the theory of having some power in the situation to dictate how things are going to
happen. And I think that's telling, because he didn't have to give that kind of power. He could have done the situation that we've seen LeBron do in the past, where it's like a year or two at a time, so he can have that kind of control. And it tells you maybe how much he trusts that organization.
Well, to me, it's mind-boggling that a talent at the level of KD, like you said, he's 5 or 10 in the game, and maybe, you know, top 20 in the history of the game, right?
For sure.
He's going to give his career and put his career in the hands of Kyrie Irving in a lot of ways, or his decision-making, have Kyrie Irving as part of his long-term decision. To me, that's mind-boggling. To me, KD, stand on your own and say, you know what, Ben Simmons, myself, if things don't work out, I want him to work out with Kyrie. If they don't work out, I'm good enough. I can bring Simmons along with me. We can find pieces, and I can make this thing work because I can stand on my own 2 feet. He's a special, special, special talent. He's got to stand up and, like, lead. Like, instead of following, he's got to lead. And leading is getting, whether it's Kyrie, whether it's Ben Simmons, or whether it's the next guy in line, basically to follow him. Because you can't be a leader unless people are going to follow. His game says, I'm a leader. That's, at least that, to me, that's what it says.
Zach, I saw you shaking your head there. Go ahead.
Well, I do agree that Kevin Durant is so secure in his own personal greatness, as he should be, that he could probably tell himself, hey, look, you just get me whatever collection of players you want, Ben Simmons, role players. I can make it work. I'm Kevin Durant. I'm a top 15 player all time. But I do want to push back a little bit on the notion that because he's under contract for 4 years, the Nets have a lot of leverage or control. They have a little bit, but this is Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant comes to the Nets and says, hey, look, we had James Harden, he's gone. We had Kyrie, he's gone. This just isn't for me right now. I'm 34 years old. I'm chasing titles. I want to win more. I want to put myself in the best position to win more titles, and it's not here anymore. I just don't see the Nets going to loggerheads with Kevin Durant over this. I would actually sort of bet a little bit more towards the other side of them saying, you know what, we started from scratch once. Let's start from scratch again, and we'll see what we can do. Open up a bidding war and get maybe the most stuff any team has ever gotten in a trade for a star player. Kevin Durant did give away a little bit of leverage, but players of this caliber, they just get what they want because there are so few of them.
And I agree with you to that point. It's more just that the Nets have the ability to potentially have some sort of conversation with him, right? As you know, Zach, we see so many times these situations, it just immediately becomes the guy's out of there, right? And at least with 4 years on his deal, they have a chance to have a conversation with him about where things go. But you're right. If he pushes the envelope and says, I want to get out of here, I want to go to somewhere else, it's probably the way this is going to go because that is where things are in the NBA.
I'm going
to
tell
you guys have the ability to dictate what they want to do.
I'm going to tell you guys why I think this is a genius move by Kyrie. When you look at it, everything you're talking about, you're basically saying, Tim, that KD can still say, hey, if this isn't working out the way I want it to, I want out. Kyrie knows that. At the same time, Kyrie has been doing what he's been doing for the past couple of years, and he's demanding max money. If I was representing him, I would say, keep doing what you're doing. Keep sitting out there and saying, I want more and more and more, because eventually everything you guys are sharing lends itself to the idea that they will cave because KD will walk if they don't, possibly. Now, the other side of that is you can trade Kyrie for something. For what? What will you get back? And so, Seth, I look at the situation and I say, how is this not a genius move by Kyrie? The longer you run this out, the more damaging it is for the Nets, the harder it is for you to make the deal with KD.
You're using your bargaining chip with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant becomes your bargaining chip.
Yeah.
Which is mind-boggling.
But I'm saying it's working out his way so far.
He's actually using KD as basically his trump card. Which is interesting. Now, I'm going to throw a wild, and I don't know the numbers, although maybe it could work. Imagine if Kyrie went to the best place for Kyrie, in my opinion, right, is the Heat. Great leadership, great coaching, strong locker room, a core group of players, and accountability. If he wants a rebuild, 2-year deal, Heat give him, and then earn your max contract. How about that one?
All right, that's an interesting point.
You need a star player. Lowry goes to the Nets. I don't know if they would do it. Throw something else in. Just an idea.
Interesting point. All right, so we're going to talk about that. And I want to ask Zach the next time we talk about this what he thinks about my genius move. Maybe he doesn't think it's genius, but geniuses are often misunderstood. Let me just say that. Coming up, we'll talk Gronk. Look at these guys laughing. Is Gronk really done playing with Tampa, Tom? I don't think people believe me. Then we'll talk to the man with his finger on the pulse of all things Brady. Plus, stunning footage of this. Blooper, the mascot, taking out his fellow mascot. We're going to ask PK if Blooper has a future in the NHL. Looking good, Blooper. Wouldn't mess with him.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, we had to bring PK in for this one. Blooper, the Braves mascot. Look at this little mascot race. And watch this tackle by Blooper. Boom!
Oh.
PK, what do you think? Could he handle his own on the ice?
Well, I like Home Depot. I don't know if I mean, I've been to Home Depot a few times. How doers get more done. That was the slogan at Home Depot. I don't know if they're getting anything done here. This is kind of silly. This is awesome stuff. That's a pretty big hit, though.
Yeah.
I will say that. Yeah. I wonder if the mascots feel that stuff.
I've seen
the devil jump through glass, and they do all kinds of crazy stuff. But, like, look at the steam he's picking up. Comes flying out of the dugout.
Mike T, are these football skills? I feel like he could get drafted off this thing.
Absolutely. I would see a little bit more rap there, but that's pretty good explosion. I'm very concerned. Is there mascot concussion protocol?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a heavy hit. Like, he jumps.
Seriously, we got to check on that guy. I mean, look at him all fired up afterwards, but man, that's like he laid him out.
Dude, look how far he's running.
I know. Timed at 17 miles an hour, putting that hit on. All right, guys. Pico, we're going to talk some hockey with you coming up.
Let's do it.
Man, that was amazing. Let's run the hurry up in the NFL. And check this out. Jeff, lead us off.
Yeah, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. first. And, of course, look, we want to see him land with the team, and it does continue to feel like the Rams are the heavy favorite. They continue to express interest. They want OBJ. He continues to seem like he likes that, but he has no reason to sign right now. He's still recovering from his torn ACL. He's not going to play until midseason. I wouldn't expect him to sign until he knows that he's signing ultimately with a contender. Ndamukong Suh, another player that's out there on the free agent market still. You know, scenario here with Suh where I think that he's going to wait until probably training camp to decide where he goes. He said it'd be, quote, cool to play for the Raiders. He said that on our air, but ultimately it doesn't seem like that has manifested into any real interest from the Raiders at this point. That could change once training camp arrives, but for now, Suh also exploring his options. Another player that we can keep an eye on as training camp kind of gets going here eventually at the end of this month is JPP. Now, JPP, another Bucks player along with Suh, is really going to do the same sort of deal. He visited the Ravens 2 weeks ago. Ultimately, that didn't lead to a signing, but they'll continue to evaluate. A lot of times with these players, they get to training camp, they see what the position looks like, and then they feel like if they need to invest, they'll explore a guy like JPP or a guy like Suh. So ultimately, they'll land on teams. It's probably just a matter of when.
Oh, yeah, JPP, Suh, any team would like to get those guys, especially at the right price. Thanks, Jeff. Meanwhile, speaking of guys who aren't playing right now, there's Gronk. He announced his retirement last week, and he immediately got to work post-retirement. Here's Gronk posting on this video on his TikTok saying, first day of retirement, getting his gritty on with kids at a football camp. Look at him go, man. Life is good for Gronk. Jeff, I look at this, and I'm like, this guy doesn't need football. He's so happy. Do you think Gronk's going to stay retired, or could we actually see him back this season?
I think we could absolutely see him back. I mean, Gronk also loves money, by the way. And look, he doesn't love training camp. So if you put all those things together, we can still understand why eventually, if Gronk decided he wanted to come back, he could. But, you know, this still is the type of scenario where it's not like he'd be ultimately having to go back to, like, Cleveland or Green Bay or Minneapolis, some cold weather city. It's Tampa, and he loves Tampa now. He's got family down in Florida, in Sarasota. So I just think that ultimately it would be very easy for him to return. So ultimately, yeah, I could very easily see Gronk back with the Bucks at some point in this season.
You Florida guys just love your Florida. I mean, what's wrong with Minneapolis?
We do.
Green Bay? It's like Florida's
nothing.
Paradise.
Just freezing cold in the middle of December. Ultimately, if you're asking me. I'd move further south, though, if I could, Brian.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said, did we mention no state income tax? You know,
oh, yeah,
just said
that's
that
right.
Gronk loves money, and why not take 7% more and play for Tampa Bay?
That's right. That's right. So, Mike, do you think that he will stay retired, or what are the chances that he comes back?
100% he comes back. Whoa. Tom Brady. When he says go, he says yes. How fast and how high? And look, they don't need Gronk for 17 games, guys. They need Gronk in consequential moments. Third down, red zone, coming down the stretch. Maybe it's 15, 20 plays a game. Jeff brings up a great point. A lot of veterans don't like training camp. Gronk doesn't need it. But we need quality plays, not quantity plays. And he could be the difference of them being the Rams down the stretch. So when Tom Brady says, hey, Gronk, it's time to go, I have no doubt in my mind he'll be a Buccaneer.
So you mentioned he could be the difference. Then it makes me think, how could he impact their Super Bowl chances? Because, look, it's a tough NFC. Tom Brady obviously came back to win a Super Bowl, but can he get over the top without Gronk?
I think it's going to be really hard. I think they still have a really good team. I think an underrated storyline, Ryan, is Todd Bowles. I've worked with Todd before. He's a great coach, not a good coach. You think about a guy like Bill Belichick, struggled in Cleveland, takes some time off, becomes a head coach again. The rest is history. I'm not saying that Todd Bowles is going to be Bill Belichick, but why not? Why can't he have a great second chapter as a head coach? This is a team that missed over 47 games on defense, so I think this team is loaded, and Gronk down the stretch only makes them that much better.
Yeah, it's interesting what you're saying about Todd Bowles as well. I want us to put that graphic back up about the red zone. That was incredible. Because we're talking, what's that number again? 48-0? Let's put that back up. 48-0 touchdown to interception ratio for Brady since 2020 with Gronk on the field. So, Jeff, look, I know they're friends. I know with friends you're like, I don't want to be too pushy. But when push comes to shove, we know the NFC is going to be tight. Don't you think Tom Brady says, Gronk, you just got to come back. I want to be friendly, but you got to come back.
I don't think it's that different than, you know, you look at Odell Beckham. We were just talking about him with the Rams. Ultimately, you know, he's recovering from an ACL. Gronk is healthy. But it's sort of the same thing from the standpoint that these guys are at a point in their career where they can sort of wait through. We know they're known commodities. We know exactly what they are when they're at their prime. So if it gets late in the season, just like with Odell, when he evaluates the landscape at some point, and Gronk looks at it and says, this makes sense for me, and the Bucs say, this makes sense for us, yeah, that could happen. I don't think that the word retirement in the NFL, as we have very clearly learned this year, is an end-all be-all. It's not as conclusive as we might otherwise expect it to be. So Gronk has retired once and came back. He will gladly do it again for the right price and the right incentive.
There you go, the right price, the right incentive. You get to miss training camp. You get to miss all that practice during the season, and you still come back and perform. So, Mike, put a button on it for us. Can the Bucs win the Super Bowl without Gronk?
I don't think so. I think they get close. I think Gronk puts them over the top. And let's learn from the Rams, Ryan. You know, they added a couple pieces down the stretch last year that were really helpful, like OBJ. So, to me, this is about how do we get back to the Super Bowl, being the Rams. And I think Gronk's a guy that could really tip the balance. So I like the Buccaneers a lot without Gronk. I love the Buccaneers with Gronk.
Yeah, the Caesars Sportsbook gives Tampa Bay pretty good odds, but not quite getting there. They got Buffalo on top when you look at that. All right, guys, thanks so much. Well, coming up, wait until you hear what Draymond Green had to say about the possibility of a LeBron-Kyrie reunion in L.A. And it's not all good. Trust me, folks. Got a jam-packed show for you on Get Up. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's for Zach Lowe. By total points, Zach, who is the all-time leading scorer in Nets history? By total points. I feel like Zach knows this. I think I know it. No, he doesn't. Oh, look at that. All right, intrigue here on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, meanwhile on planet Earth, they had a lot of fun in the Yankee stands yesterday. Look at this little girl, this whole section, so invested in this little girl's flip game, and they got so fired up when she made it. Zach, look at this. She's flipping, she makes it, and they go nuts. What do you think, Zach?
Good talent, right? When did the Yankee Stadium bleachers become a wholesome place? This is the nicest thing that's ever happened in the outfield of Yankee Stadium.
Hey, that's just not
that's
right.
That's so
right
true.
There.
That's absolutely true. Look at that, a place of joy.
A lot of hate. Hey, it's beautiful in the Bronx.
Looking like a true New England guy.
I mean, goodness gracious. All right.
Okay, back to a little Red sneaky hembo time for the New England guy. By total points, who is the all-time leading scorer in Mets history? Zach.
Brooke Lopez, short and sweet.
Whoa!
I was hoping
he's right! Whoa!
I'm mad at Hembo because I knew that too. I was talking with Greenberg about it during the game. Well done, Zach.
Really? I was so far off of that. Buck Williams was second, but wow, Zach just throwing it down.
Nailed it.
Didn't even give Hembo a
no
chance to breathe.
No wasted time today.
Hembo.
Oh, wow.
He's not even here to give you his react.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was a good one, Zach. All right, let's play a little game of what will they do with Seth Greenberg. Seth, kick it off for us, starting with James Harden.
James Harden's going to sign with Philadelphia. He's going to probably sign an extended deal. And look, he's not leaving money on the table. But more importantly, this Philadelphia team, they got their core group back. The big thing is the dude's got to get in shape. Right now, think about this. Over the last 2 years, only 10 dunks, under 60% from 3 feet. Why? Because he didn't have that burst. He didn't have that lift. He couldn't play through contact. James Harden in shape now that he's healthy. In shape, he will be a different player. He will be with the Sixers.
The full off season for him to work on that hamstring. We'll see if he's got that burst back next year. That's who he is.
Huge year.
What about Brad Beal?
Bradley Beal is going to take the money and run. I'm not sure they're going to win. I do like Johnny Davis, their first round draft choice, who has a great middle game. But Beal is an elite scorer. I'm surprised a little bit because you want to compete for a championship, especially with the addition that he can bring to another team. But I think Bradley Beal is going to be in Washington. Obviously, he's going to make a lot of buckets. I'm not sure he's going to win a lot of games, but the dude can flat out score the basketball. And then Kyrie. Tim said, who knows? What's Kyrie going to do? Is he going to talk to KD? Is KD going to be in the deal? I think Kyrie is going to be back in Brooklyn. Just to me, they've got to figure out a way to make it work. I don't think you're going to give him a max deal, but you're going to try to find some compromise. You put Ben Simmons with Kyrie, with KD, and you have a chance to win the championship. I think he sees that. He buys in. They find some type of compromise.
All right. So if he's not in Brooklyn, maybe he'll be in L.A. That's what people are talking about. And guess who else is talking about it? Draymond. Look at what he had to say about the possibility of Kyrie joining the Lakers. With LeBron James, if you give them someone like Kyrie, they'll have a chance because of the way Kyrie can score the basketball. LeBron will only put him in a position to do that. Kyrie has not proven to be a great leader. LeBron will put an umbrella over that. If you can do what you're good at, you have LeBron leading. They could contend, but they won't beat us. Yeah, talk about poke. I like that. Nothing wrong with that.
Poke it.
He's got the crown. He's allowed to do that. And look, I don't see any lies there at all. I think when you go back and look at Kyrie Irving's championship-winning season with LeBron in 2016, LeBron was the point guard, Kyrie was the shooting guard. When he had his best season with the Nets last year when they had the big three, James Harden was the point guard, Kyrie was the shooting guard. Kyrie is at his best when he is a flat-out scorer and doesn't have to deal with anything else on the court, right? If he's playing alongside LeBron James and with Anthony Davis in L.A., that's the optimal situation for his basketball talent. Now, again, I think the Lakers probably would not be, to me, at the top of my list of championship contenders because they would have to fill out the roster with a bunch of minimum players. We've seen all three of these guys now have injury issues, right? LeBron has always been, until the last couple of years, that's been the biggest thing, right? He's always on the court. That's not the case anymore. Anthony Davis gets hurt a lot. We know Kyrie always gets hurt and misses at least 15, 20 games in a season. So I think they would have some challenges, but again, the NBA is a talent league. Those three guys have a ton of talent, and if you're talking about just the optimal fit for Kyrie, is as a scorer next to an elite playmaker, and that's LeBron James.
Wow. So could they actually win it, Zach? Could they actually win it with this combination? And would Kyrie actually leave $30 million on the table to play for the Lakers?
Happening.
Well, the second question I'm staying away from, because the answer to everything could be yes with Kyrie Irving. I have absolutely no idea. He did leave $17 million on the table because he didn't want to get vaccinated. By the way, another player who didn't want to get vaccinated, Andrew Wiggins, did so for the sake of his team and changed his entire career trajectory as a result. That's neither here nor there. Could they win a championship? Absolutely. 18 months ago, if you had just said Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, everybody in the NBA would have said, oh my God, that is an absolutely perfect complimentary big three. All the pieces fit together. All this stuff about how Russ doesn't fit, all that, that goes out the window. They would need three or four role players to develop. You don't necessarily need them to be stars, but you need 3-and-D guys who you trust to be on the floor late in games around those three guys, with Anthony Davis preferably playing center. Whether that's Taylor Horton Tucker making the leap that they hoped he would make last year, we'll see. Austin Reeves, how much better can he get? Do they need to find this year's version of a Malik Monk? Do they need one of these guys to work out? Two of them, absolutely. But that foundation, those big three, if they're healthy, Kyrie, all signs are there. The vaccine mandates, all that stuff is gone. Why can't he play 60 games? And Anthony Davis, we're all sleeping on him, man. That guy at full throttle, at full health, can still be a top 10 player in the NBA. I'm not really sure what's happened to his jump shot or what happened to it in the bubble when he made everything, but there's a great superstar player in there that everyone's kind of forgotten about. They can absolutely win. They would not be my favorites. The way the Clippers have loaded up, the way the Nuggets are primed to load up, the way the Warriors are coming off a title and all the teams in the East, but absolutely they could win it.
39-13, LeBron and Kyrie. All right, you add Anthony Davis, a healthy Anthony Davis. And, like, Anthony Davis, he didn't shoot the ball well because, you know what, he wasn't on the floor. He didn't have reps. He didn't have – I'm like, you still have to practice despite popular demand. I mean, you see good players, all right, work on their games. But you can't work on your game if you're not healthy. It's just that plain and simple. So 39-13, you put Kyrie with those two. Now, I don't care. Look, $17 million this year, $30 million. I don't care how much money you have. You just don't leave that kind of money on the table. Are you kidding me? Look, I know he's really different.
As Zach said.
He did.
In any situation.
17, but not 30-something.
Zach, Zach said he
well,
did.
Well, listen, in any situation with Kyrie Irving, the only correct answer is maybe. That's it.
Well.
So maybe he will and maybe he won't, but that's it. It's, there's no way to say with certainty on either side of anything what's going to happen.
Because there's no way you can make a deal with Westbrook to clear that cap money.
Well, I mean,
it's 2 years because
you could
Westbrook only has 1 year.
You could do lots of things. I mean, it is it isn't impossible, but it gets complicated because it's a huge contract number, right, and you have to find somebody who's willing to take it. Obviously, not sure the Nets would. I mean, that's where you get into a complicated game.
Seth just can't fathom leaving $30 million on the table.
Well, that's it's 47 now because he left 17 on last year. I mean, look, you can be successful. You can have a lot of money. I know he wants to win. To me, it's like a kumbaya because obviously the situation with LeBron in Cleveland, the end of the game, and you said that's been all healed up, and that's great. And time does heal all.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, going back to even as far as his last season with the Celtics,
right.
You know, they had one of their biggest wins of the season in an overtime win against Toronto at home, and Kyrie came in the locker room after the game and talked about how he'd called LeBron, and this was after Kyrie had his run-ins with Jaylen Brown and some of the young guys on the team, and said, yeah, you know, I remember when I was a young guy with Cleveland, and I know how difficult I was, and now I see how hard it was to deal with me, because now I am the veteran who's dealing with.
So he was a knucklehead in Cleveland.
Well, that his
now this explain was a way, the recent behavior.
Well, that well, it was a way for Kyrie to compare to equate himself with LeBron and to kind of spin the narrative back in his favor.
Right.
But it also is a sign that over time, some of the issues that went on in Cleveland, I think, have been healed over.
Okay.
And look, certainly with where the Lakers are at, you know, if they could add Kyrie Irving, you know, beggars can't be choosers. You add a guy like that to a team where the Lakers are right now, as Zach said, it fundamentally changes their outlook. If that's
LeBron does not want to lose, let's put it this way. LeBron James does not want to have his last few years playing at the highest level, maybe the greatest player of all time, and getting himself whacked all over the place. I mean, he needs to find a way to get a roster that he has a chance to win.
And so, this I might mean, give it to him. Zach, put a bow on it for us.
If they are able to do this, you absolutely have to do it. You figure out the Russ thing later, whether it's as part of this or you have to waive him or he just comes off the bench and plays 12 minutes for you, because those three guys fit hand in glove and you just figure out the rest later. Right now, the Lakers, I don't think, even if everything hits right for them, I don't think their roster is good enough to compete or really win the title, let's say. With that guy, Kyrie, he gives you at least a chance. And as Seth said, LeBron just needs a chance. LeBron just wants a chance. He's not in this anymore to be the fifth seed or the sixth seed in a loaded Western Conference. He's not in it for that.
Yeah, it would be a dangerous team with Kyrie on it. We'll see how this all plays out. Thanks, guys. Well, the NFL's decision on any punishment for Deshaun Watson's getting closer. The Browns quarterback, his hearing with the disciplinary officer, Sue Robinson, is tomorrow. Robinson's going to rule on a potential suspension for Watson, who's been sued by over two dozen women who've accused him of sexual assault and misconduct. So, Jeff Darlington, I want to bring you in. What are the expectations of this hearing tomorrow?
Well, Ryan, I think the most important thing here is to actually have very little expectations, because this is something that is pretty new when it comes to NFL disciplinary process. And Sue Robinson, the disciplinary officer, is residing over her first real disciplinary hearing here. So we don't know what the timeline will be. We know that at this meeting, the NFL and the NFLPA will both have a chance to sort of explain what they believe should happen with Deshaun Watson. Whether Robinson takes that into account is ultimately up to her. The timeline on this is obviously an important thing that people are wondering about. Now, this kind of feels like it is the final hearing before Robinson can ultimately give what she decides to be her discipline. Whether that means it'll happen a few days after this or a month, again, we don't know. The one thing that when I talk to the NFL, what they tell me all the time is we do not have a timetable. This has been such a fluid, ever-changing situation, and therefore we should respect it as such. When Robinson ultimately decides that, there can be an appeals process. The NFLPA can appeal it. Roger Goodell also has the power to change the punishment. So obviously, we're a long way from what feels like finality.
So even when that decision comes down, it may not be over. Jeff, thank you so much. Well, coming up, we're going to play a little game of put up or shut up with our Mike Tannenbaum and ask exactly what Dak Prescott must put up this season to justify his contract in Big D. Let's go back to the NFL because it's time for a little game of put up or shut up with Mike T. Mike T, what does Justin Fields need to put up this year?
He has to show that he is a frontline starter, Ryan, and the definition of that is to make those around you better. They lost Allen Robinson. Can he make someone like Darnell Mooney a frontline wide receiver? That's what he's going to have to do, elevate some of these young skill players that Chicago has. That's what he's going to need to do to prove he's a frontline starter in the NFL.
What does Justin Herbert need to put up this year?
He has to put up a great season and give the Chargers a ton of credit. Look what they did on the other side of the ball. J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, getting back a healthy Derwin James. This team is loaded. Justin Herbert has all the potential in the world. This is the year he has to knock it out of the park, and he has to take the Chargers to the championship game because he has that type of ability.
Wow, that's a big move there. What does Dak Prescott need to put up this year?
My man Dak, he has to keep Monday Dan Orlovsky quiet during the regular season. And the way you do that, Ryan, is you win the division, you win a home playoff game, and you show you're one of the five best quarterbacks on the planet. CeeDee Lamb's your new number one. Amari Cooper graduated. Dak Prescott has that ability, and I fully expect him to be a top five quarterback this year.
Takes a lot to quiet down Monday, Dan. If he could do that, maybe that's bigger than winning MVP. We'll see if he can do just that. Meanwhile, it's a little quiet on the Debo trade front. You know, you remember the situation. All-pro wide receiver previously requested a trade out of San Fran, reportedly due to his desire for a new contract. And he had some displeasure surrounding his role within the offense. But according to Jeremy Fowler, Debo hasn't backed down from his trade request. So I wanted to bring in the man who broke the story originally, Jeff Darlington, and Mike T again to talk this. And Jeff, what will it take, do you think, at this point for Debo to stay in San Francisco?
You know, I would say, first of all, it's a tough question because Debo, when the negotiations in the first place, the conversations at the onset of talks between the 49ers and he for a potential contract extension, they went sideways right away. And it was at that point when Debo essentially said, I want out. And it never has struck me as something where the 49ers can easily apologize and get right back into it. Debo is a man of principle and has put his feet in the ground on this. So we'll see. I mean, the 49ers are trying. They love Debo. They believe that he is such a weapon on the field, and they feel like they want to continue to make it right. They have said as much. Can those overtures, can those desires and levels of appreciation cause Debo to come back to them? That's where we're at in this, and I think time will tell. It will have to come in the form of, obviously, a massive contract, but also it will have to come in the form of a relationship that Debo feels like can prosper for years to come.
See, that's very interesting because, Mike, you're our master GM, and you look at this situation, it's not just about money. It's about how he feels about the organization. So take us through how you would talk to Debo to change his mind, to get him to think, this is the place where I need to be.
Ryan, it's about roles in the future, and we want to pair you with Trey Lance, our future quarterback, and we think about the 49ers. It's going to be Trey Lance, it's going to be George Kittle, and it's you, Debo Samuel. You're going to touch the ball 20 to 25 times a game. It could be in the backfield, down the field, but you're so important to us, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. We're going to have success on the field. We're going to make you fulfilled off the field. You're the face of the franchise. You're a great person. You're competitive. You're tough. We drafted you, and we want to keep you here for a long time.
Jeff, is that enough, you think?
It is, but I think it's also, gosh, I mean, this is so complicated and personal that I know Kyle Shanahan has expressed it, that he believes that this relationship is reconcilable. And John Lynch has made it clear that he loves Debo and wants to see him back. It's ultimately going to be Debo. It takes two to tango, and he's going to have to be the one to come back to the table and feel like, hey, I'm ready to be a part of this organization. And I don't sense that right now that is the case. It could change. I just don't know. I'm hesitant. I think this gets a little messier before it gets cleaner.
Makes for a tough situation for San Francisco. Even though they're saying all the right things publicly, still doesn't seem to be working out. We'll see where this goes. Thanks, guys. Appreciate all the football talk today. But let's go to the game of the night in hockey. Game 6, Avalanche, Lightning. The Stanley Cup is in the building as they get ready for this one and for a great game. Early second period, Avs trailing 1-0. They got the possession. Bowen Byram to Nathan MacKinnon for the one-timer for the goal, PK.
Yeah, it took them 22 minutes to find the back of the net, and that's the guy that they wanted to do it. Nathan MacKinnon getting a huge goal for his team, getting the boys going.
And then under 8 minutes left in the second, MacKinnon to Artturi Lehkonen. Going to get the score, punch it right in.
Yeah, Lehkonen, huge pickup for Colorado. He scored some big goals in this run, and here you can see it. Pat Maroon's a little ticked off because Manson had interfered with Belmar a little bit on that back check, which opened up the 3-on-2, and that's all she wrote.
Right here, Stanley Cup winner.
Yep. It's over! They did it! They did it! The job is done! The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions!
There they are, Cale Makar, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner as playoff MVP, the Avs, Stanley Cup champions, the franchise's third Stanley Cup. Yeah, right? Whoa. Flip right there.
Slippery on the ice.
They got their first cup since 2001. And I'll tell you, the Avs, man, they've been on fire all playoffs. They never trailed in a playoff series this year. They became the fifth team since 85, as in 1985, to win the Stanley Cup as a preseason favorite. They've already opened as the favorite to win next year's cup at Caesars Sportsbook. So when you look at this series, PK, how did the Avs do it?
Well, listen, this is a team that's been built through the draft. You know, it starts with that. You got Gabe Landeskog, who was captain at 19 years old, Nathan MacKinnon, obviously Eric Johnson, who's been there. I think this is his 14th season. So you got a core group of guys that have been there for a long time. And they even said it 5 years ago, they were the last place team in the league. Right? They've drafted well. They've developed their players. Obviously, they found some high-end talent. They really were touched by God getting Cale Makar. This guy's unbelievable, and he's made a huge difference from the back end. But that's what you need. You need to get those bounces and that luck. And then you couple that with some veterans that they were able to bring in to really, you know, close out their team and insulate their young group with guys that made it tough to play against, made this team tough to play against. And when we eliminated Colorado with Nashville, you could see they were missing some of those pieces. Well, they got those pieces now, and it's paid dividends. They're Stanley Cup champions.
Real quick, you think they'll win it again?
Oh, they definitely are going to have a chance to do that. I think Joe Sakic and the organization have managed the cap well. They, you know, Nathan MacKinnon, if you look at him, he's one of the only superstars in the league that's making, I think he's making like $6.5 million or something like that. He could be getting paid over 10 easily. So, you know, he took less to win a championship. He knows that he took less to do that. Now he's a Stanley Cup champion. Huge payday coming for him at some point in time. But Colorado's going to have many opportunities to do that. And Cale Makar is going to have many opportunities to win Norris trophies and potentially more Conn Smythe. So.
Yeah, he is just incredible.
Unbelievable.
This team on top of the hockey world. I wanted to show you this, though. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, that blood boiling over in Anaheim
here
on Sundays.
Go.
Check this out. Mariners, Angels brawled after Jesse Winker's hit by that pitch. Now, that makes you mad, but look at where it goes from here. Guy's starting to get fired up.
Yep.
Scott Servais getting mad. Okay,
you've seen
Winker.
This episode before.
Yeah, right? I mean, are you surprised? Is this more than you've seen in most hockey games?
Well, listen, hockey players, we block shots all the time. So we're getting hit with pucks going 100 miles an hour. I don't know. That looked like a bit of a love tap. But they got no equipment on. I tell you, I'd be ticked off if somebody hit me with the ball on purpose with no gear on.
Yep.
But other than that, I love to see it. Sometimes baseball games can get a little slow, you know, a little boring. There you go. That's
double bird.
That's not boring.
Nope.
The only thing I didn't like was this.
Why?
I said
water. Sunflower seeds.
Are they planters or what are they? Because if they're peanuts, I love my peanuts on flights after games. I would never waste a peanut. I've only wasted a few, maybe throwing at the rookies on the plane sometimes, but that's it. Anyway, no, but I love this stuff. This is great. This is one of my favorite things about watching baseball, seeing guys get fired up. I think they got to do it a little bit more.
Yeah, you think so?
Oh, yeah, why not? Clear out the benches. Let's get in one. I love it.
We need to bring a hockey mentality to
that's
baseball.
That's it.
Why get not?
Physical. Get physical. I'm loving it. Yeah.
Yeah, right in
right
the face.
In the face. I love it.
Now, when that happens, what happens when that happens to you? In hockey,
usually what refs do is try to get control of the game early.
Yeah.
But every now and then it boils over, and sometimes you just got to let guys go. You got to let them get it out there. Obviously, there's some bad blood here. You know, if you're throwing sunflower seeds on,
you know what I'm saying?
Right? So, no, and I love it.
The key takeaway in this, PK will never throw away a peanut.
Not going to happen.
No.
Not if they're planners. It ain't happening. Mm-mm. Not going to happen.
Oh, my God. We learned so much on this show. And how about this? First Take, top of the hour. They're asking if KD should feel betrayed by Kyrie. Plus, if Kyrie leaves, where's the best fit? Join Christine Williamson, Freddie Coleman, Courtney Cronin, and the cast of thousands. All right, welcome back. PK Subban, he just was here. He's headed over to First Take, where they're going to talk about everything from Kyrie, KD, hockey, so much more to come. We'll be back tomorrow, I'm sure, talking more Kyrie and KD. A lot of decisions coming in the NBA. So enjoy that. But First Take starts now.